The following podcast contains strong language and frank discussions of violence. Listener discretion is advised.
Good Sunday morning with Joanne and Mike at Murder Amongst Friends. That's our new jingle. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the tantalizing podcast we like to call Murder Amongst Friends. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
I love you, kid. Missed you. So glad that we're both feeling somewhat better and we can hang out more than once every millennia.
No viruses on board.
Well, that we know of.
Oh, right.
That we know of, Michael.
Because shingles doesn't care.
Shingles doesn't care. That commercial's the greatest. It's like, I'd like to spend some time with my husband. Too bad. Shingles doesn't care. It's like, it's my daughter's graduation. Tough shit. Shingles doesn't care. Like, that commercial is hilarious.
Get it?
Like, I almost want shingles so I can be a part of it. It's just, it makes you want to jump in. Like, that's how every commercial should be.
Well, if you've had chicken pox as a child, the shingles virus is already inside of you.
I had chicken pox twice. Yeah. I had it very, very, my sister and I both had it so badly. Like, we were almost, like, blind. We had to, like, lay in a room that was dark and shit. It was, like, it was everywhere. And then I got it again, but, like, very mild. It wasn't anything like the first. The first one was excruciating.
So we're not surprised at three times for COVID.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Three, four times. Who's counting at this point? Yeah. Three, four times COVID. How many times have I had bronchitis and, you know, all this shit?
Yeah. Life is wild.
Shingles doesn't care. Imagine every commercial just did that shit. It's like, I'd love to eat a Hershey's, but it doesn't matter. You're going to get fat. Like, you know what I mean? It's bad for you. Like,
truth in advertising.
Full of preservatives. Enjoy. Like, it's just,
not much actual chocolate.
Not real chocolate. Yeah. Ugh. Gross. Well, Mike?
Well, do we have any updates?
So in the vein of, like, I watched the documentary on Natalia Grace. You didn't see it.
Yeah.
You watched Shiny Happy People.
Yeah, because, you know, I wanted some pick-me-up.
So yeah,
I needed
something with a little levity, you know? And so you watched Shiny Happy People about the Duggars.
Oh, yeah, that was my mistake.
Family. You remember that family from the TLC show, like, 15 and counting, 16 and counting, 18, 19, 20. We just keep having kids because we can't stop and counting. You remember that series?
Yep.
Yep. That Christian family.
Yep.
That wholesome,
living
by God's law.
Yeah, they all played the violin.
Or the harp. Don't sell, Jill?
Harpist.
Short. Don't sell her short. She's playing the harp.
I think that was in addition to the violin.
Oh, I'm sure they had to play probably a fucking lute and God knows what else, right?
Lyre. God does know.
Liar. Pantalones on fire and fuego. So you suggested, because you love me so much.
Yeah.
You were like, you know what you should watch?
Yeah.
You should watch Shiny Happy People. So I did.
You've never done that to me.
So I did.
Yeah.
And can I just...
The title is misleading.
I'm going to say something.
Here we go.
Everybody, listen up. And I'd never, ever victim blame. I don't victim blame. But I'm got very unpopular opinion coming up, I'm sure. It's 2023.
Yes.
The year of our Lord.
Well.
2023 AD, Michael.
Their Lord, at least.
And if you're still falling for this cult bullshit, you deserve what you get. Now, not the children.
Oh, well.
Because they're indoctrinated from birth, so they don't know any better. But if you find a church in your adult life and you join it and whoopsie, it's a cult.
Whoopsie.
You're a fucking idiot. You are a fucking moron. I'm sorry. No, I'm not even sorry. I'm not sorry. Because if you've got one brain cell in your head, all you have to do is look at the leader of whatever church it is, okay? Just look at their face. Just look at their face and let your million years of evolution do the work for you. I'm sorry, Mike, But I can look at these people and go, weirdo, weirdo, child molester, predator, this guy's on drugs, this guy needs to be in jail. Like, I don't understand how
people get
caught up in this fucking shit. And then all of a sudden they're like, I had no idea it was a cult. Well, no, yes, you did.
Evolution isn't real, so.
Oh, that's right. That, yeah. Oh, yeah, right. Forgot about that. So let's talk about these little skumbadis over there. The Duggars, okay? They...
Jim Bob
and his wife, Michelle, they get married at like 17 and 18 or 17 and 19. She was 17, of course.
Yeah.
And he starts indoctrinating her into this religion.
Big time.
Called the IBLP. I'm not even going to go into what these acronyms stand for because no one gives a shit.
Yeah, it's too much to keep track of.
I couldn't care. So they are this Christian family. They live by this, quote, religion that doesn't exist, that this guy, what's his name, Bill Gothard, just like made up, right? Basically made it up, right. Which I'm telling you, we should just make up a cult. Let's just do it, because clearly people still fall for that shit.
It only has to be slightly different.
It doesn't even have to be different. Yeah, we'll just take the same one and just make a new one.
Right.
Just a new face, you know?
Yeah.
I'll be the face of the brand.
Yeah, well, be my face, that's for sure.
Well, it would have to be yours, because you're a man. I can't be the face of anything. Yeah, yeah. Let's cut the shit.
Well, you're a teal swan type.
Oh, great. That's just what I want to be, because we'd be very good friends, me and her. Ugh. Her and I, the two of us. They start raising up these 50 million kids that they have. I think at the end they had 20 or something. I think they stopped at 20 or something. With like the mother almost dying numerous times, because your body is not supposed to have 20 fucking children. No. Whatever, come at me. So the oldest son, Josh, quote, sexually assaulted, quote, children,
plural,
including his own sisters.
Yippee.
Whoops. Right? This was before the TLC show. This was before TLC gave them a show.
Yeah.
Hey, TLC,
you
fucking disgrazia. So TLC knew about it.
Right.
They knew about it. They tried to spin it into some bullshit, like they sent him to some work camp or some shit.
And if your religion has a work camp that you can send, quote, troubled youth to, you may want to rethink.
You're in a cult and knock it off. He comes back. Oh, he's cured.
Yeah, of course.
His pedophilia.
Yeah.
Or whatever, his rapes and his molestations.
And if it's before the show, they obviously kept having kids to further the show.
They 100, because I think it started at like 16 and counting, and they ended up with like 19 or 20 or some bullshit.
So they knew they had a son with this problem.
Yeah.
And they kept him in the home and then continued to have more children.
Right. Like, it's... Right. And TLC gives them a show.
Yeah.
Gives them a new house to live in. Right. Spends hundreds of thousands of dollars to give them this house.
It's fantastic.
So they brush over that.
Of course.
He gets married, or he gets betrothed,
let's say. As you would do.
As you do, right? To his parents' friend's daughter, as you do, where you're going to cull from, right?
Yeah. It's like, you know, the Prince of England marrying the Queen of France or something.
They don't know, the friends.
Yeah.
Don't know that he's done this.
Well, why would you?
Why would you tell
your
future in-laws that you're a molester? hey, my name's Chester and I like to molest her. Like, you know what I mean? So they don't tell their best friends whose daughter they're trying to marry to their son that their son's a freak.
Right.
Okay?
They've also made
the friends found out because there's some kind of other shit that comes out, and they find out because there's like cops involved and like law enforcement and shit.
Right.
Which, by the way, the father, Jim Bob, is friends with the cops, so nothing happens.
Just
they
like
confess,
but
nothing happens, right? Because they're friends, they're buddies.
I can't remember if I'm remembering this correctly.
They're bros, man.
There was either audio or footage in the documentary of the cop saying, like, I think you're fine.
Hey, listen, as long as you don't do it again, let's let this one go. We're not going to talk about it. And you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Just don't do it again.
And then, as if to drop a bombshell that no one expected, the documentary says, and this cop was part of their religion.
Then like, no shit.
What?
No shit.
You
right?
Don't say.
So he ends up marrying the daughter because he's cured, Mike.
Big ceremony on television, right?
Paid for by
TLC.
The network, right? Well, shortly after that, it comes to light that he's had an affair. Oops. Stepped out of the marriage.
What?
On Ashley Madison. Whoops. .com. He sleeps with someone and she exposes him because, whoops. Hi. Hi. Yeah. Oops, whoopsie number 12, right? Now, this all starts coming to light. This Ashley Madison. Now, the sisters that he molested.
Yeah.
Nay, raped, I guess.
Yeah.
Their parents made them go on a show.
On Fox News.
To defend Megyn Kelly.
Yeah.
This blonde bitch. goes on her show and basically defends the brother, like, molesting them.
Yeah.
Says, we didn't even know it happened. We were all of the victims were asleep. But I think it's important for victims to have a voice. But we're forgiving him. It wasn't really that bad.
Yeah.
It wasn't really that bad. It wasn't like rape and stuff.
And stuff.
But that's exactly what it's like. Yeah. So these kids get re-traumatized, right? On top of all this, the parents, not the parents.
No.
The father.
Yes.
is having these kids sign these contracts. They don't know what these contracts say.
Right.
And or they never updated the contracts. So when these kids started hitting above 18.
Yep.
The contracts still had their ages from when they were younger. So the parents were just signing these contracts, which is fraud.
Yep.
TLC, what are you doing? Like, you clearly know that, like, these kids age every birthday, right? Every year. You've been doing the show for X amount of years. These kids are definitely above age, but what? You're still allowing the parents to sign these contracts. The father is taking all of the money.
No.
The women in this religion, by the way,
yeah,
have to submit in every way, shape, and form. The whole thing is about authority.
Well, yeah.
The men are in charge and women have to submit no matter what.
Well, what's wrong with that?
I will beat your ass. The main guy, Bill Gothard, this creator of this fucking cult, right? He would get young girls to go ride with him in his special van. And he would quote, heavy pet these young girls. Not adhering to his 6-inch rule, which means boys and girls and men and women must adhere to 6-inch space. Let's leave a little room for the Holy Spirit, Mike.
Well, that's
at all times. You know. Yet he's fondling them in front of other girls in the magical mystery van. What's happening?
Gross.
Yeah, totally fucking gross. Totally gross. They also encourage physical discipline.
Yes.
From the time that the baby is born to adulthood.
Well,
so I could take your 22-year-old self into a room, put you over my knee, and paddle you on the ass.
Well, yeah.
And also slap a 6-month-old for reaching for a toy.
Yes.
Continuously until they stop reaching for it. Well, they call it blanket training, where you take your 6-month-old baby. Get this, everyone. You take your 6-month-old baby. Now, picture if anybody out there has kids. Take your precious angel baby, put them on one of their blankets, right, that they probably got for their christening or whatever, their birth or baptism, or whatever it is you guys do, right? You take a toy, their favorite toy, you put it outside the blanket, and every time the baby goes to reach for it, you fucking whack them one.
Yeah.
You smack them.
Yeah.
And if the baby cries, or the kid cries, you keep hitting them until they stop crying.
Which could be hours.
Could be hours, yep. Right? Because you need to, quote, break their will.
Yep. You know, doesn't sound like torture techniques or, you know, brainwashing. It
sounds like a wonderful religion I'd love to become a part of.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. What a loving, caring group of people.
It's really doing a lot of good in the world.
So while they're taking you in the other room to beat your ass, they're calling it, I think you need a little encouragement.
Encouragement?
Michael, go into the bedroom. I'll meet you in there. We're going to give you a little encouragement today.
I don't like that sentence.
I.e., I'm going to take a paddle and beat your ass until you do exactly what I say.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? All the girls are not only weirdly infantilized.
Yeah.
At the same time sexualized.
Well.
Which makes.
Of course.
No sense.
Unless you're Josh Duggar.
Think about it, right? They all have to talk in voices like this. Even if they're grown women, they have to sound like little girls. It's fucking pukey.
It's just easier on the eardrums. That's
all. It's fucking pukey. They're all also all homeschooled.
Yeah.
They don't get taught math, science, English, any of that. They get taught slut shaming.
Yeah.
What women shouldn't do, how to discipline, how to submit to the authority, which goes like God, church, Bill Gothard, any man, then your parents, then, you know, the Holy Spirit, then older kids, then you.
Yeah.
You have to submit. Like, that's it. And
I loved it.
I don't know if you can tell, but I'm not the type of woman that's going to be pushed into submission in any way, shape, or form.
No.
At all. If I submit to someone, man or woman, it's my fucking choice.
Right.
This is so gross. And everybody, thousands and thousands and millions of people used to watch these shows.
Oh, yeah.
While these kids are all getting sexually abused in the background from the top guy all the way through the entire church. And people are just eating it up like it's fucking Fruit Loops on a cartoon Saturday morning back in the 80s. Like, you get me?
You didn't even mention...
Oh, God.
One of the more egregious inclusions in the documentary, but it was included because it's so egregious that this footage exists in the first place.
Mm. Oh, no. Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Along the vein of allowing, you know, corporal punishment,
This is so bad.
They were taught specifically how to use corporal punishment without getting in trouble. Mm-hmm. So there was a specific technique for spanking.
Yeah.
And this technique needed to be passed along to the general populace of this cult. So one of the elders, not Gothard, but
sick in my stomach just because I'm picturing it right now. And it was, I paused when that part came on and I started rage texting you in all caps, flipping my shit.
Yeah. Mm. It was real. Tequila Katie energy.
That's a Vanderpump Rules reference for all you guys out there that are following along with Mike.
But, you know, just your standard wrinkly old white man.
Ugh.
And he has this, I'm terrible at
this
guessing.
This is in like an amphitheater of like tens of thousands of people, by the way.
Up onto the dais, he brings...
A four-year-old boy?
I'm terrible at that.
Four or six.
4 and 6 year old boy. Who...
Not a boy that he knows.
Yeah.
They just called a boy from the crowd.
Out of the audience. And the boy, when he's up there, seems to be confused.
And nervous.
As to why he's up there.
Yeah.
And this fucking...
Crypt keeper.
This albino raisin decides to tell a theater full of mostly women... how to spank their children. So he takes this kid, not his,
he says, I'm going to pretend I'm your daddy for a minute, okay?
Yeah. And he bends this kid literally over his knee and starts spanking him on camera.
In front of tens of thousands of people.
All of these other people.
Like, resting his hand on his buttocks, like holding it there, spanking him, going, now you've been a bad boy, haven't you?
Yeah.
Haven't you been so bad? Are you going to listen to daddy? What?
Yeah, it's horrifying. The kid obviously doesn't know why he's up there, what's going on. Meanwhile, he's in between, you know, fake scolding this kid. He's mugging to the audience.
Yeah.
Like, do you see how easy it is to control? And the audience is reacting.
They're
like this is
laughing stand-up. And it's funny. And then he stands the boy up, grabs him by the shoulders and goes, now give your daddy a hug. Have you learned your lesson? And the boy kind of hugs him, but he's weird. Like, he's weirded out. I don't know this guy. He doesn't want to touch him and shit. And the guy goes, I don't think that was a good enough hug. I think you need more encouragement. Puts him back over his knee and starts spanking him again.
Yeah.
And then lifts him back up and says, now do you think you can give daddy a real hug? And this kid gives him a hug because he's like, I want to get out of this situation. And the guy is like, caressing him and rubbing him. And I wanted to fucking take an axe and chop that guy up into about 6,000 fucking pieces and punch the parents who let that kid go up there in the first place in the face. Because you know they were probably in the audience like...
Yeah, so like...
My son was honored. Chosen. Yeah. My son was chosen. Fuck you, dude.
So honored.
You fucking creeps. Blech. Like, no. So if anybody wants to be completely fucking enraged, that's our recommends for the week. Shiny happy people. The Duggar family story.
available monstrosity on Prime and also Freevee.
But weirdly, Freevee only has 2 of the 4 episodes right now.
Yes.
So
I think because it's on the free platform, they're probably doing like a weekly.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll all be there. But if you have Prime and you want to just ruin your entire day and or weeks to come, watch it.
And it will be just a day because even though they're 4 episodes, they're on the shorter side. Yeah, they're like 1 is an hour, but the last one's like 30 minutes or
something. Yeah, they're not that bad.
So yeah, check out that, but with caution, obviously.
Yeah, it's very triggering for anybody that's ever dealt with any sexual assault. Yeah, also,
it is a rough one. Transitioning. Probably pretty abruptly and harshly here. This story does have some elements of child abuse, unfortunately.
Oh, God.
Not much, but it does end in murder, obviously. So let's just jump right in.
Yeah, okay.
This is the story of the Lonely Hearts Killers, or as I know them, the Honeymoon Killers.
Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Be
the name of our merry band of murdering marauders if we ever decided to go that route.
Yeah. And misfits, of course. And misfits. Just for the alliteration. Well, yeah. Yeah. I first became aware of this case because of the movie titled The Honeymoon Killers that was released in 1970. Mm-hmm. The tagline of the movie is, "Love is a bitch called Martha."
Oh, and that line has significant meaning to me personally, but we will skip over that.
The only reason I included it. Okay.
I am not that kind of person that's going to talk shit about anyone on the show.
As you might have guessed, this is the story of a killer couple. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Martha first.
Okay.
Martha Beck was born Martha Julie Seabrook on May 6th, 1920 in Milton, Florida. It was said she
Seabrook.
Had a... Yes.
That's the little town that she goes back in the notebook where she goes to stay with Noah Calhoun in the notebook. And she tells her James Marsden.
James Marsden.
And she's like, "I just need a couple days to myself." And he's like, "Where are you going?" And she's like, "Seabrook." And that's the only reason that I know that place exists.
Well, there you go.
Continue.
It is said that she had a glandular problem.
Okay.
But that was the, you know, contemporary way back then to just describe someone that was obese.
So she was charbesque.
Yeah. She was discriminated against because of her weight, but it was also most likely the cause of her premature puberty. She would later claim that her brother...
Not another promiscuous puberty, premature puberty.
Yeah, this is not...
This is another Natalia Grace situation.
Natalia Grace, no. She would later claim that her brother raped her while she was young.
Oh, no.
And her mother subsequently beat her, blaming Martha for the whole
thing. For the rape.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's outrageous.
Her rough childhood led Martha to run away from home when she was just a young teenager, and she joined a traveling circus.
Oh, no.
This probably isn't true, but Truman Capote would later claim that he briefly toured with Martha when she was 10 years old.
Why
I have not an inkling
anybody?
The tour would include.
Don't tell what? I traveled the country with a 10-year-old child, and don't tell people that.
Yeah. She did manage to finish school and went on to nursing school. But she had a lot of trouble finding a job, employers citing her weight as a reason they weren't hiring her.
What? What the hell does that have to do with her skill?
They wouldn't hire a fat nurse, I guess.
Okay. I guess you don't want a dentist with bad breath, but...
Yeah. I mean, and this was also, you know, the 40s and easy to discriminate against anybody for any reason if you were, you know, in power.
You gotta get that weight down, see?
Yeah. She had to settle for a job as an undertaker's assistant. And would prepare female bodies.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay. Yeah.
So she was.
She went from trying to help the living
to
only being able to deal with the dead.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, she had the specific task of preparing the female bodies.
Yeah.
You know, because that would be icky for the guy to
do.
I don't know. That job didn't take. She soon quit and decided to move to California. Now on the West Coast, Martha did get a job working as a nurse in the U.S. Army Hospital. Martha got pregnant in California, but the father of the baby flat out refused to marry her. It was, of course, a time when having a child out of wedlock was accompanied by a social stigma.
Well, yeah, that's a big
that
no
she
no.
was already facing for her glandular problem.
Right.
And Martha
went... Oh, no, fat and pregnant and not married. Yeah. Oh, no. Right. What could be worse? Like,
So she went back to Florida to have the baby. Once back home, Martha lied and said that the baby's father was killed in the Pacific during World War II.
As she was forced to do.
The town believed Martha. Why wouldn't they? And published a story about it in the local newspaper.
Oh, no. Well,
It wasn't long after the birth of a baby girl that she fell pregnant again. This time, the father was a man named Alfred Beck, a Pensacola bus driver.
Okay. He's gainfully employed. That's a step in the right direction.
They did get married. Good. But divorced only 6 months later.
Bad.
Soon after, Martha gave birth to a son. Martha was now unemployed and a single mother of two very young children.
Yes.
She retreated into the world of romance, developing an obsession with magazines, novels, and romantic movies.
Okay, I thought you meant like...
Yeah.
I thought she went down a different track. Okay.
In 1946, she found a new job at the Pensacola Hospital for Children.
Okay.
Her time was occupied, but she wanted to share her life with someone. So in 1947,
Join the club, sis.
In 1947, she placed a Lonely Hearts ad.
Aww.
A man named Raymond Fernandez responded.
Okay.
Now we have to talk about good old Raymond.
No, I don't like it.
Raymond Martinez Fernandez was born in Hawaii before it was a state on December 17th, 1914.
Okay.
Not long after, the family moved to Bridgeport, Connecticut. And by the time Raymond was a teenager, he left the States to go work on his uncle's farm in Spain.
So from Connecticut.
From Hawaii to Connecticut to Spain.
This guy's a real world traveler.
In the early 1900s, where it wasn't so easy to just...
Quite a feat.
Yeah. It was in Spain that Raymond met and married a woman named Encarnacion Robles, and together they had four children.
Holy smokes. Yeah. Just knocking them out. Okay.
Raymond went into the Spanish Merchant Navy and served with British intelligence during World War II.
Okay.
After the war,
he
decided to abandon his entire family and search for a job.
As you do, Michael.
And search for a job in America.
He gets Martha knocked up.
No, he hasn't met Martha yet.
Oh, okay. All right.
This is his wife, Encarnacion.
Oh, okay, okay. I was going to say, he got Martha pregnant. And then he dips to Spain, has like four kids, leaves them, dips out in the true meaning of the word.
This is all prior to them connecting.
Okay. And then just goes, bye, family. Oh, he said, adios, familia, and then he took off.
Right.
Cool.
After he gets on board a ship that was destined for the U.S., a steel hatch fell on his head.
What?
Fracturing his skull.
Oh, my God.
And injuring his frontal lobe.
Yeah. Oh no! Head injury
might have affected his later aberrations.
Uh oh.
He was released from the hospital, but almost immediately stole clothes and was sent to prison for a year. Yeah.
Stole clothes? Did he just have a Johnny? And he's like, "Well, I got to get out in the world. I need these clothes."
I think he just walked into a place and stole some shit.
Just decided to steal some clothes, and then they put him in jail.
While imprisoned, Raymond's cellmate converted him to the practice of voodoo and black magic. Raymond's claim was that the black magic gave him an irresistible power and charm over women. It was so irresistible that he resorted to responding to Lonely Hearts ads.
Okay.
You know, because he wasn't just walking around pulling people like, hey, come with me.
Hey, baby.
Hey, I'm so charming. Hey, I'm so charming.
Hey, no. Fall prey to my charms.
After their Lonely Hearts correspondence, Raymond visited Martha in Florida for a short time, during which Martha told everyone who would listen that the two were married, even though they weren't.
So they were. They had a meet cute, and she was like, we're married. Yeah. We're in love.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, this is my new husband.
Yeah.
I've known him for 3 minutes.
Raymond decided that he was going to move down to Florida for Martha and returned back to New York City to tie up his old life while Martha stayed behind.
This guy is a jet-setting son of a bitch.
Yeah. Martha stayed to prepare for their new life together as a couple.
I wonder if she knows he's got a wife and four kiddos back in España.
If she does, I don't think it matters because of some details that are imminent.
Forthcoming.
During the preparation period, Martha was abruptly fired from her job. So she decided to pull the old switcheroo, packed up her stuff, and surprised Raymond by showing up unannounced at his door in New York. Raymond wasn't put off by this sudden move.
Okay.
In fact, he liked that Martha seemed to be doing everything she could for him, catering to his every whim.
She grabbed her two kids.
Nope. Even leaving her children behind in Florida so she could be with him.
No, with whom?
Raymond.
She just dipped. She left her kids.
Left her kids. Yeah.
Well,
he really liked that part.
But Raymond's not both kids' dad even.
Nope.
Because the other one's supposedly him, but he's not. He's just out there floating around in the world.
Right.
She just left her kids.
Yep.
For a man?
Yep.
No.
This one.
No.
He took that as a sign of unconditional love.
Craziness.
Yeah.
Selfishness.
When he confessed that he had a criminal past and was often on the wrong side of the law to this day.
Tell me she thought she found it exciting.
Martha wasn't scared away. In fact, she sent her children. She did one better than just abandoning them.
Yes.
She sent her children to the Salvation Army so she could devote herself to Raymond 100%. She just dumped them.
Leave them with the dad.
Yeah.
Why are you sending them to strangers? This is wild. I can't fathom this.
Yeah. So the scam was fairly simple. Oh. Raymond would respond to Lonely Hearts ads, presumably using his black magic enhanced charms on a woman. And get from her everything he possibly could.
Uh-huh.
Martha's role was also simple. She would pretend to be Raymond's sister, so the intended victim would feel more comfortable since another woman was often around.
Right, right. Come with me on this date. You'll be safe. My sister will be there.
Martha would actually say that she lived alone in the apartment and that her brother, quote unquote, was just visiting.
Mm-hmm.
So even less pressure on the situation. Yeah. This plan wasn't the best because Martha was an extremely jealous person and was oddly possessive of her brother.
Well, she fucking flew across the country and ditched her kids for this man. Yeah. What did you think? She was going to be laissez-faire casual about it?
She did everything possible to make sure that Raymond and any other woman would never be able to actually consummate a relationship. She's just out here cock-blocking.
Right.
When he did manage to sleep with one of these women, Martha would subject both the woman and Raymond to her violent temper.
Ooh.
Which must have been strange for the woman, wondering
why your sister
Martha
is so
cared
jealous
so much
that I'm sleeping with her brother.
About what her brother was doing in the bedroom.
In the bedroom, kids.
Yeah. Why would it matter?
Why does it matter in general? Why does it matter? Hey, everybody, mind your fucking business.
Yeah.
And leave everybody's personal sexual preferences and lives
It doesn't involve
alone.
You.
It doesn't involve you. So uninvolve yourself. Thank you. PSA over. Goodbye.
In 1949, the couple committed 3 murders. Well, 3 that they were convicted for, and possibly, probably, many more. A woman named Janet Fay, who was 66, became engaged to Raymond and moved into his apartment in Long Island. When Martha found them in bed together, she smashed Janet in the head with a hammer.
Oh my God, she's a senior.
Yeah. After that, Raymond then decided to strangle her for good measure.
Her head is bashed in, sir.
Yeah. He wanted to participate, I guess.
Okay.
Janet's family grew understandably concerned once she disappeared, so Raymond and Martha fled.
Yes.
They dipped out.
Okay. Doesn't mean they went into the spare room and slept over for the night.
Right.
Sandoval.
Well, not yet.
Oh, no.
The couple soon ended up in Wyoming Township, Michigan, a suburb of Grand Rapids. So they went from New York to Michigan. So halfway across the country.
Right.
It was in Michigan that they met a woman named Delphine Downing.
Oh my God, that sounds like a movie star name.
Yeah, a 28-year-old widow who had a 2-year-old daughter.
Oh no, she actually was a widow.
Yeah.
She didn't make up a story that her husband died in the South Pacific.
Right. One day, Delphine became very upset and kind of just agitated.
Yeah.
And Raymond gave her some sleeping pills
to
relax her.
No. So he roofies her.
When Delphine's daughter saw her mother acting strange, she was clearly inebriated on the pills, she began to cry hysterically.
Oh,
she didn't
baby.
Like seeing her mom act that way.
Yeah, that's scary.
Martha could not handle the sound and started to strangle the 2-year-old. She didn't kill the child,
Oh, well, thank goodness for small favors, I guess.
But Raymond got concerned that Delphine would become suspicious seeing the bruises around her neck.
Well, yes!
His resolution to the problem.
No.
Fathom a guess.
Kill the mother so she doesn't see the...
Was to shoot the now passed out Delphine.
No.
Raymond and Martha stayed in the house.
No.
With the body and still crying child for several days.
Well, what are they just repeatedly choking this kid every time she fucking cries till she passes out? Or
Martha
like,
reached her breaking point with the crying and finally drowned
no!
the baby in a basin
no!
of water. Yeah. The killers buried the bodies in the basement.
No.
But Delphine's neighbors noticed that the young mother and her daughter were missing.
Why not just fuck off? Leave the kid there. Someone will hear the crying. Eventually, someone will come there.
Yeah.
You would hope, right? Because you hear a baby crying for a day.
Yeah.
I had to call the cops the other night because my neighbor's fucking dog, it's not the dog's fault,
right,
was left out in the rain.
Yeah.
We had blinding, pouring rain.
Terrible rain, yeah.
Left the dog out in the rain. This poor dog was out there barking, like when I say incessantly, from like 12:30 at night to like 4:30 in the fucking morning.
Yeah.
I literally had to call the police and go, hey, listen, guys. Yeah. I know this isn't...
It's not an emergency.
This is not an emergency, but...
That's why I called the precinct.
This dog... I didn't dial 911. I called the precinct. And I asked to speak to the sheriff.
Can you get a deputy out here? Check it out right quick.
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody in the South.
Sorry, guys. I'm just going to take a walk down there by the crib. So they came out finally at like 4:30 in the morning and it finally stopped and I was able to go to sleep. But
for an hour and a half.
You would hope that if somebody heard a baby crying incessantly for, I don't know, a day, somebody would have checked it out. You don't have to drown the kid.
Yeah.
Fuck's sake.
So the neighbors noticed that they were missing and the police showed up at Delphine's house on March 1st, 1949 and the couple were arrested.
Right.
They were running from place to place, and they just stayed here with two bodies.
Yeah.
I don't know what was so fantastic about this, but
it doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah. Once in custody, Raymond quickly confessed. The police had suspicions that the couple were involved in as many as 17 murders going from town to town. But Raymond quickly decided to retract his confessions, saying that he only took blame to shield Martha.
So he's like, blaming it on, she did all these murders.
Well, he's like, yeah, we did it. Oh, wait, we didn't do all that. That's a lot of heat. I can't take all that.
She did it. I know I said I did it, but really she did it.
So this is all happening and unfolding in Michigan, but New York asks to have them extradited back because at the time they still had the death penalty.
Okay.
So that actually happened, and New York brought them back to face charges for Janet's murder. And this actually would turn out to be the only crime for which the couple was tried. They weren't actually brought to trial in Michigan. We knew that this happened there, but this was a death penalty case. They were convicted, sent to death row.
Yeah.
And there were no long stays on death row at the time. And Raymond and Martha were both executed at Sing Sing on March 8th, 1951. So just over 2 years, 2 years and a week after they were arrested, they were put to death.
That's fairly quick.
Right. So there wasn't even time for them to be brought to trial in Michigan, let alone get to the bottom.
They were like,
of these
listen,
other...
it doesn't even matter what your Michigan outcome is because we're going to kill you.
Right.
Yeah.
So they were both killed on the same day, March 8th, 1951. And that was the story of the Lonely Hearts Killers.
Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
You lost me at she drowned the baby in the basin.
Right.
You lost me.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say about that. That's...
yeah. It's not great.
No.
It is
just
not,
leave. Just not leave. Great.
Right.
Just leave.
Yeah.
You don't have to stay there, guys.
Right.
With a body and a crying baby. You can fuck right off.
Yeah. They could have just not done any of this. That would have been...
Well,
optional,
I mean, yeah.
So.
Okay, thank you, Mike, for making me look like a psychopath. But what I'm saying is...
Yeah,
we've already committed this...
Yeah.
Crime.
Kill the mother, whatever.
I mean, whatever. Kill the lady,
yeah,
but like, don't
leave.
Kill the baby, you know?
Don't let yourself get caught.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's gross. Well, this has been a gross day.
Sure has.
Hey, oh, by the way.
Now we have to go do manual labor.
It's right. Father's Day.
Oh, yeah.
We're recording on Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to all you dads out there. To all you
deadbeats. Who won't marry or will marry but then divorce before the baby's even born.
Or, like, take off and leave your four kids in Spain.
Yeah. You know.
I'd also like to send a special shout out. Happy Father's Day to my forever daddies. Pedro Pascal and Oscar Isaac. Those are the only daddies I want in my life. Hey-o. Damn it.
I have nothing to add.
Michael, I have said it before, and I'll say it again to you, to your chagrin.
Yeah.
That is one sandwich I would eat the crusts off.
Yeah.
Well, Mike.
If anybody has any tangential connection to anybody that knows those two.
Oh, please.
Let Joanne know immediately, because
I just need 1 minute of their time to sell my pitch. Yeah. If you get my drift.
Now, you're going to think I'm making this up.
Stop. What are you about to say?
Joanne has concocted.
Oh, no.
It's not a fantasy. It is a plan.
It's a plot.
Yeah. A step-by-step.
I plot, Michael.
Seduction method. For one.
No, what if people steal this and they use
Pedro Pascal. I'm not going to give the details.
Okay.
Because those are trade industry secrets.
Right.
But there is an actual step-by-step.
I have done.
With contingencies based upon reactions, timing, and location. This will happen.
Yeah, it's going to happen eventually. I'm going to bump into him in the world on this planet at some point in time.
Yeah.
And when that happens, I will implement this plan.
Yeah.
And we'll see if it pans becomes fruitful out. And I...
go forth and multiply.
Well, I can't multiply, but I can go forth a lot. I'm going to be going forth a hell of a lot.
Over and over.
Over and over again. Michael.
Yeah.
If you want to follow us...
I don't know why you would
at this point. And for the people that are still here, what are you doing with your life?
What can you do if you want to follow us?
You can go to the socials.
Yes.
At MAF Podcast Show.
Yes, you can do that. What if Instagram you want to have additional contact?
If you want to contact us via email.
Electronic mail.
Ye olde electronic mail over the world wide web.
What can you do?
You can email us at MAFPodcastShow@gmail.com. Depending on how you want to pronounce it.
Do I need AOL?
Is that even a thing anymore?
I don't know.
You've got mail. Oh, I miss that.
I have all of those CDs with all of my free hours. I'm still working.
I have
through.
1 million free hours of internet. I miss those days.
Yeah.
Dial up.
And you should probably, so you don't miss an episode, subscribe on Spotify and
Apple Podcast.
If you could do both, that'd be cool.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
And just like listen to all the eps.
Yeah. Just put them on
repeat. Follow us on the socials. All right, I'm going to stop because Mike's going to strangle me if I don't stop.
Yeah.
Stop doing that.
You know, we don't really have an outline, which is fine because I'm not, you know, cool enough to like hit a stinger line.
Yeah.
Like do that goosebumps walk away thing where it's like you say the line, then get goosebumps and you just walk away. Hence, goosebumps walk away.
Oh, wait a minute.
Shout out to New Girl.
Joni's holding up a sign from the booth and it said, Happy Father's Day, Daddy Michael.
Oh,
ew, gross. Joan.
Yeah.
And on that note, Mike.
Ew.
Don't join a cult and sing weirdy religious songs. Don't join a cult and mess with little kids' lives because you're a fucking degenerate motherfucker. Don't hide behind some made-up religion to commit the most heinous, as Lisa Vanderpump likes to say, crimes.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.